If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command. So, tonight's topic for our discussion is, if you don't want to be stood up, don't make a date with time. So, take a deep breath and call yourself forward and own and occupy the fullness of your hologram that is projected into this quantum time-space event that you identify as your present incarnation. Really, it isn't your omnipresent beingness. But you've become familiarized with this point in time-space. And you think the hologram that's moving about is who you are. Well, we tell you week after week that you're not. That you're something much greater than anything you have yet awakened to. And that means that it is present and at hand and is but a choice of focus away from where you customarily park your sense of beingness. I speak to you tonight on behalf of the highest level of the Ashtar Galactic Command with some information that may be in some ways confrontational and disturbing to those who would like to cozy down with the familiar platitudes that normally enable the further dozing and negligence of owning reality. There has been a tendency for human beings to negate self, negate the owning and responsibility that needs to be assumed for one's own state of being. There is rather the tendency to project and ascribe to those elements and beings and authorities that are projected outside of self and look to as the governing agencies, those that are seen as somehow apart from and superior to the divine incarnation that you are in actuality. We of other worlds have lived for millions of years without warfare. Millions of years without warfare. There is not another planet in your solar system that is not inhabited by loving friends. As we travel throughout the galaxy, and we enter this solar system, we are met everywhere by friends, neighbors, family members. We land with ease upon any planet. We are welcomed into a loving fellowship wherever we go. It's like visiting another room in our overall mansion, all except for the Earth. We of the Venusian culture refer to Earth as called Nayar, the negative child, or Saros, the sorrowful planet. It is sad for us to watch beings that, for the most part, are star seedlings from other planetary worlds that were brought to Earth long ago. You see, we understand negativity as a form of mental aberration, like a mental dis-ease. And we have no punitive measures whatsoever upon our homeworlds. We would readily give our own lives before we would ever kill another being. There is nothing left within us that has any hatred, any adversarial positioning against any one of God's creations. We recognize one universal creator of all life. We recognize a kinship and a brother sisterhood with all life. We deeply cherish and love every single sentient being. And we co-share this beautiful universe, which to us is very much like islands within an ocean of loving mercy. We do not see civilizations and planets as different or alien. In fact, human life, human with capital M and capital H, human, God-man life, is seated throughout the vastness of creation in trillions of inhabited worlds, planets, suns, and moons. There is life everywhere, made in the image of love, beautiful and sacred. And when we notice an aberration, which sometimes does occur, where a being is willfully recalcitrant in the sense of willfully having an intention towards harmfulness, we have to decide what is to be done that would be for the highest good and advancement of that particular being. And so, in your solar system, the Earth was chosen to be the home because it was the youngest in the cycle of maturation. It was chosen to be the home of the recalcitrant and rebellious ones from myriads of worlds that were brought in various ways and stages to the planet Earth. And that collective rebelliousness was addressed when we sent the brightest morning star, our beloved Lord and Master, Sananda Kumara. We sent the Most Radiant One himself as an aspect incarnation into your world as Yeshua, Ben Elohim, Jesus, known as the Son of God. And so that great soul took upon his own shoulders the eating, let's say, of the collective misaligned energy of the collective of the fallen ones who had come upon the earth. He consumed it in the sense that he took upon himself and worked through all that labyrinth of consciousness that had been misappropriated, misidentified, and erroneously separated into an ego form that differentiated itself in fear and alienation from others. And he willingly gave his life in that process to die a death to those things of darkness which had kept mankind in a time loop in which he seemed completely helpless to extricate himself. Now, since then, there have been many bright souls who have taken embodiment, both through your birth process and those who have appropriated forms already in existence in overlays, some, like the speaker, back in time from the future, and others who have actually assumed an incarnation, much like someone would hand over the keys to their family car and allow another to drive it. Sometimes you have called them walk-ins. Now, because of that, there has been a vanguard of new possibilities and increased light velocity upon your world. This has brought an acceleration of the frequency band in and around and within your Earth's molecules, which has affected the consciousness of everyone. And so you're experiencing a form of, what would we call it, an inner dawning, like bringing up the dimmer switch to a higher light wattage within the consciousness itself. Because of that, many beings are breaking free for the first time from the laws of time and causality, or karma, causation, and are moving now into a place where for the first time they are openly receptive, whereas before they had not been. And this is because of those of you who are and have been putting yourselves on the line without a thought for your personal self or your personal safety, but simply to be way showers, embodying the love and the higher state of brotherhood that so exemplifies our star nations. Some in your world were deeply disheartened when nothing seemingly to the outer observation occurred on 12/21/2012. But things do not happen in your Gregorian timeline as you would in your thinking lower beta frequency mind field believe. Let me share with you a few profound thoughts that we will try to explain in a way that you may be able to grasp more easily, perhaps, than you have before. Thinking is always bound to time. Thinking, when it comes from that separated part of the mind that the speaker often refers to as ego mind, is intrinsically interwoven into the human separated sense of self, which always understands things only in terms of time. It sees everything as having a beginning and an ending. It sees things in a linear sequencing. And both of those things are absolutely counter to actual truth. Awareness is that which transcends time. Awareness is of the absolute. It is not in time. Part of your mind is entrained in that customary way of thinking that is time-related, and few have actually risen in their awareness into timelessness. It's there, but the dependency upon future projection and the tendency to drag past events forward into the moment causes the human to be out of sync all the time, neither in the future nor in the past, and they're not showing up in the now. And it's that little glitch in the flow of eternal bliss and peace that is your true state that keeps you from being aware of that state of peace and bliss. It is interesting and, well, let's just say that until a person really wants to take responsibility for their state of consciousness, there is absolutely nothing any one of us can do. Our hands are tied. We're not allowed to inflict or to coerce or even to outright tell you something that you absolutely must do. There always has to be the wiggle room for that universal clause of honoring and respecting free will. The only time, as I've told you before, that we are allowed to intervene is when your actions would export a form of danger and contamination to your fellow neighbors in your solar system, which happened to be the case with your atomic bomb testing. And that's why we began coming in 1945 to see what in the world this energy was that we were sensing forming around the Earth. And it was the residual of the atomic testing. Those that worked out on the test fields in Nevada would report seeing green, glowing objects that would appear in the sky after they had done the atomic testing. Those were sent by the Ashtar Command and others to nullify the effects of the radiation. There have been continual envoys of beings who have come to test the soil and the water and to make sure that life continues to be viable upon your planet. Were these things not done, you would have all perished by now of radiation poisoning. But as you can see, that has not been the case. So the intervention that is continually allowed on your behalf is one which assures the viability and survivability of your planet long enough that it can indeed produce a graduation of your life wave into a higher state of awareness. We would like to be able to come here as welcomed brothers and sisters. We would like to be able to feel as free to drop in for a visit, assured of a loving and safe welcome on Earth as we are in any other place, not only in this solar system, but other solar systems. So now that you have come to the ending of a 26,000-year cycle, we had hoped very much that there could be more of an atmosphere of mutual harmony and accord amongst the cohabitants on this planet. We are wondering when you are going to make peace more of a priority than maintaining your positions of superiority with regard to a particular culture, religion, place on the planet. When are you going to prioritize peace? How many more yugas are you going to hang out in the lowest possible state of consciousness, which is the consciousness of desiring to willfully harm and take the life of another fellow being? There is no state of consciousness lower than that. Even animals, even vicious, predatory animals, will only kill for food. The human being on Earth is the only one that takes a demonic delight in inflicting torture and pain upon another being. Nowhere in all of the planetary worlds that we have personally visited, and there are many that we have not visited because we're always exploring, but none of the ones that we have visited have we ever, ever seen such rampant hatred and evil intention in any other race or planetary culture than those that we've seen upon Earth. It is actually beyond our comprehension why there is such bloodlust and hatred upon your world. We speak to you each week and assume that those that listen to us are ready to at least assume some responsibility for themselves and their state of consciousness. We don't make promises that we're going to do a massive show and tell. We do not tell you to place your hopes on some funding that's going to drop into your lap. We do not blame or speak ill or ascribe any kind of, let's say, negative valence or judgment upon any world leader or group of people. We see you as all equally responsible for the state of your planet. Every single one of you is responsible for the state of your planet. We absolutely cannot comprehend why nations that have such a disparate division of the resources and that which you use in your exchange for your commodities, how such nations can allow other nations to starve right before their eyes and not find some way to collectively address that problem. How can you consider yourselves to be beyond the animal brute stage if you can watch the members of your own global family starve right before your eyes and do nothing? How can you look up into the sky and say, "Ashtar, beam me up," when you yourself are part of the problem that has produced this kind of a world? How can you go to bed at night knowing that somewhere in the world people are rotting in cages simply because they refused to convert to another person's ideological demand. Their twerked, thwarted viewpoint of what someone has to adhere to in order to be allowed to exist in that part of the world. People are in these rotting cages, being tortured and maimed and starved to death simply because they wouldn't convert to another belief system. Could anything be more inane than that? And it is permitted. And while this is being permitted, bigger and, should we say, worse, not better, but worse instruments to kill, maim, and destroy are being planned as we transmit this message. When does it stop? Has anyone who has ever taken up the sword ever not been killed by the sword? Your own sacred books have told you that whatsoever you do wish and intend to another will be done to you in like degree and measure. There is not one of you that is not part of the problems that you see when you turn on your news. And there is not one of you that is not capable of, in this very moment, making a choice that would revolutionize your entire being. A single choice. But after the choice, you have to follow through in alignment with that choice. If you're going to choose love, then hatred, againstness, criticism, blaming, pointing fingers has got to stop. If you're going to talk about the fellowship of mankind and the father motherhood of God, you're going to have to treat everyone as your own kith and kindred, for they are that in actual truth. So some of you are disappointed because you made a date and got stood up. Have you noticed, or could you please notice, how whenever you mentally project your hope onto some event happening in the future, notice how often, how predictably you're stood up. Stood up, for those of you that may not be aware of the term, is where you have made a date with someone and they don't show up. And in your world, that's a cause for great disappointment. So, there are ones that have come forward with great prognostications, giving dates when this or that was to occur. Some good, some not good at all. But notice how in almost every case when these special pronouncements with the dates are made, that it's going to usually benefit or eliminate certain segments of your population. We want to reinforce one thought for you that you've got to know. And it's this. If anyone loses whatsoever because of that event. It is not of God. God sees only one, only begotten Son. And that is each one of you birthed from the very heart of God as divine love. Divine love itself is the Christ, is the promised one, is the beloved, is the uniquely begotten that took upon itself flesh and dwelt upon your orb. Yes, there are those who came as the fullness of that, the greatest of which was your and our most radiant one, Jesus the Christ. He, of all the bright stars of heaven, shone the brightest in that he, having absolutely no fault, took upon himself willingly the faults of all, that you might have a new opportunity to actually step free through divine intervention in the form of grace. For it was seen that you would just absolutely never, ever get out of the trap of karma and reincarnation, left to your own devices. And it was decided that something had to be done to throw in a lifesaver. And that one who came to save you and grant you eternal life in the realms of eternality, beyond the darkness and the death and the despair and degradation of these lower states of consciousness, the one who came to do that was Jesus, the Christ. But not as a one of, but more as a way shower, that selfless pure love is also what you are to emulate and embody, not as a theory in your head, or some sweet platitude that you sit in a church pew and listen to each week and forget as soon as you walk out the door, or even before in most cases. It is something that you are to embody with as much tenacity as you embody the idea you have to eat 3 times a day, or that you have to have a certain amount of money for your labor. If you made being that love as important to you as eating every day, as taking that next breath, as making that almighty dollar that you worship above all else, you would have a planet absolutely explode in radiant love, and there would no longer be the slightest vestige of hatred and hatred in any heart. All it takes is you, individually, each one of you, deciding that above all else, you will embody the love of that divine Savior. Personally, you will take responsibility to be born again as the Christ. Those of us from other worlds strive the same as you to embody the fullness of our spirits and our potentials. Our lessons continue. We're not perfect. We don't put ourselves up as masters or gods or anything of that nature. We're simply older brothers and sisters that have finally learned how to live in love and harmony and honor the divinity in all life. We all came through similar cycles of growth that the earth has been going through. only not for such long periods of time. Earth is really dragging its heels. I wouldn't say the earth is dragging her heels so much as the people upon her surface are dragging their heels. And it's because of primarily the attachment to thought. You base everything in your life upon what some impression that's running through your brain is giving you. But everything born of thought is conditioned by your past. Can you not see that? Can you not see that you're simply recycling familiar habit patterns in everything practically that you do? Nothing is coming from the authenticity of your own God awareness. It's the imitation of patterns, social patterns, psychic patterns, thought patterns, emotional patterns. Do whatever you possibly can do to get above so that you can be an objective observer to the patterns that you're allowing to run your life. Just stop everything for a while until you can distance yourself enough from your behavior to begin to elicit some conscious self, capital S, volitional action into time and space that's not governed and driven by your past, by your history, by your pain, by your karma. See if there could be something born of the originality and purity of pure, unconditioned beingness. You can do it. Many have done it. And now it's time for everyone who has hung in long enough with this seminar to hear this message. If you're hearing it tonight, it's your turn. It's your time. So much awaits you that in itself should serve as some form of motivation to not delay. To not delay. Can you imagine how pleasant it is for us to travel in our beautiful ships of light and explore the vast creations, the many mansions of God, the beautiful planets which are completely easy for any human being on Earth to inhabit. The differences in the gravitation and the effect of living on another planet is about the same distance, the same type of adjustment that going from sea level to the highest levels within the Himalayas would pose. In their most extreme examples, all planets in this solar system have beautiful grass, flowers, mountains, seasons, oceans, lakes, rivers, animals, beautiful homes, beautiful, joyful, happy people that all adore the Creator and co-share their beautiful planetary homes without money, without commerce, without barter. They simply create because they love to use those higher abilities that none of you are using, with few exceptions. They love to use those abilities, not to devise bombs and ways of killing each other, but to create new and more lovely forms of creative expression, of music and art and sculpture, of dance, of pageantry, My heavens, there is no limit to the creative joy that we have in expressing our divine potentials and always expanding them to something even more lovely. That is what you will have when you give up your attachment to personal ownership, to making a dollar at the expense of another person, of all of the things now that go ignored and unaddressed in your world, the inequalities, the pain, the suffering of countless millions of people. Do you realize that only a very, very small percentage of the 7 billion plus people on your planet actually have a roof over their head that you could dignify with the name home? Many millions of people live on the streets in rags, starving to death, begging for a crumb of food. Very, very few people on this planet have even one-third of what the average poverty-level member of certain nations take for granted. This should not be. We have in our home worlds long ago eliminated every form of poverty, all diseases, even death itself, for we have in the more evolved members of our races developed the ability of how to regenerate and immortalize the cells of the body by raising them to the purest level of divine light and love, which are actually the same thing. When you are pure love, you are immortalized. Because love, light, and God, the very God essence, are one and the same thing. So many of our more advanced members of our society are thousands of years old, and some are, as I've said, already immortalized. And there are degrees of consciousness on our worlds, but not to the extreme that you see upon Earth. We all know that we are divine and one with our Creator. We all know that we are absolutely interwoven with every other person, that we're like fibers in the same cloth. And we've all learned how to honor the different expressions, the different forms of creativity, and life preferences. We honor that diversity. We don't try to make everyone do the same, believe the same. The only thing that I would say is one amongst all of us is the sense that we have of open-hearted embracement and cherishing reverence for all life. And the spontaneous sharing and generosity and friendliness that without exception characterizes those of our worlds. You will notice that those of you that have had conscious experience with us, that when you return to your everyday reality, that you're changed. It is not possible for one to have spent time directly with us that they return the same person. In fact, the change is so pronounced that often they meet with great persecution afterwards. as many of our more noticed emissaries have had to face. That's another very strange characteristic of Earth, how it despises and hates those of the light. If they cannot be killed or put away into some imprisonment, then the character is slandered, and they try by other means to denigrate and demean that persona. Know that no one who has ever been with us is capable of that behavior. That is why the Most Radiant One said that it is by your fruit that you are known, and the fruit of the Lord is love. And those who know the Lord are recognized by that love. And those who have been with the children of God, who have prioritized embodying that love, return transformed within them. They have been in the presence of a unified field of such harmlessness, of such innocence, of such open-hearted embracement, that it leaves an indelible mark upon their being. And by that, you will know that they have truly been with members, in this case, of the Ashtar Galactic Command. There are those in your world that claim to be our messengers and our spokesmen. But you must learn to discern beyond the claims that people make. You must look and see, is that energy signature of unconditional divine love is present? If it's not, these are self-assumed messengers, but not appointed, authorized messengers. Our message is love. Our message is universal brother and sisterhood. Our message is the oneness and unity of all life throughout this and a myriad of worlds. Our message is universal peace and loving sharing, a cooperative endeavor. Our message is that we are all embodiments of the divine. If that be so, why are so many of you living like the spawn of hell? Why? What pleasure do you derive from being right at the expense of another? Look at it. Consider that. The next time you want to vent your anger upon another simply because you can't control them to your preference, notice how easily you can be brought to uncontrollable rage and hatred. but just a few words that you do not embrace. These are the things that are keeping you from everything that you look to us to provide, that we cannot give to you. Do you not understand that you yourself must be that state if you would enter into that state that you call the kingdom of heaven? You may, in your prayers, want to really, really petition the Holy Spirit that dwells within you to seal your lips against any word that you would speak against another. One of the prophets of your world felt that his lips were unclean lips, unworthy of speaking the messages of God. And so an angel came with a burning coal, touched to his lips and tongue, that was symbolic of the purification that he felt that he must undergo before he could give forth the oracles of the Lord. Every one of you is designed to be a messenger of the Lord. Every one of you is called to be a Christed one, an anointed one, one that is guided and led by the Spirit of the living God. Every one of you is a sacred divine incarnation, that you've allowed your lower nature and your ego mind to take charge and control of your life stream doesn't change the eternal truth of who you are. But it certainly causes and should cause you to call to question your inability to live true to yourself, your inability to live true to love, your inability to prioritize peace, and to end cycle on againstness. That is what is called the question here tonight. We would like to welcome you, your planet, as a member of the family of united and peaceful star nations. We cannot do that until you learn to live in peace. We would like to offer you the technology of heart, of consciousness, of free energy, of universal energy that would make your lives a paradise now, free of poverty, a monetary system, political drama, sickness, disease, and even death. We would have given that to you many decades ago. We offered that to you many decades ago. But it was rejected then, and it has been rejected now. We are doing everything that we can think of, that we can present, that will be sufficient enough to motivate more of you prioritize living in loving harmony with one another, of truly seeing and loving your brother as yourself. We know that until you are willing and desperately willing, or you want that more than anything else on this earth, until you want that, you will not have sufficient strength or motivation to make that choice. You have to choose to take the hand of God, of that which is greater than you, and be led like a trusting and innocent child into the home that you share forever with God. It is not a home in the stars or on a spaceship. It's right in the center of your chest. The door is a tiny little point of light, slightly different in each person. But if with all of your heart and soul, you ask, and ask in absolute sincerity, I promise you that the Lord himself will come and allow you to enter. You will find the door to the kingdom of heaven within your heart. When you found and entered that tiny place, smaller than a pinpoint, you will never again be able to act unlovingly. You will gladly give your life for the sake of another before you would allow yourself to offer any form of resistance or hatred. Once you have found and entered your own sacred heart, you will no longer be of this world. You will find that the heart itself opens into the world that you now seek as you gaze up into the sky. They're not found in the outer sky. They are found in the starlit kingdom of the Son of God and the sons and daughters of God that dwell in your own heart. Your heart is the dimensional portal that you seek. Look no further to enter into everything that you seek now in time. If you don't want to be stood up, don't make a date with time, and don't allow time to rob you of your divine destiny. We, your brothers and sisters of the Ashtar Galactic Command, send our love and our blessings to each one of you. Abaraga Aumua. Abaksu. Adonai. And God bless.